Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 27th of September. It's an open line for September. We do these once a month, and so we're getting to the end of September, which is hard to believe, but here it is, the 27th, as I said. So we're going to take your suggestions, but alas, nobody has called. This is just the first time this has ever happened. So let me give you the phone number so you can help program the hours between 9 and 11. Here is our number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number. And our lines are all open at this moment, and usually they're filled always. So call. Okay. Mimi Notestein is answering phone calls for us today. She's normally with Ben's program, but she's with us this morning, so we thank her. There go the phones. Okay. I won't worry now. Actually, I was at, it reminds me of a story over the weekend. I was visiting my son at college, Parents Weekend. I was so excited to go to Parents Weekend. It was just like going to the prom or going to my wedding or something. It was so wonderful to see him. But we looked at the radio station, WRST, and I'm not sure the young gentleman's name, but he was doing a sports talk show, and the other two people who were supposed to co-host weren't there. So it was his second time on the radio, and he found himself with an hour by himself. And God bless him, he did the show by himself. He just talked for an hour, which is astounding. That's the fear that we always have when we have an open line. Nobody will call. But that's not the case. You're calling now. I do want to remind you that we're having a special live broadcast, and we love to see our listeners and chat with you, and particularly chat about books. What could be better than a broadcast with Nancy Pearl? It's going to be at the most beautiful place, I think, in the whole city of Milwaukee. It's at the Calatrava, the Milwaukee Art Museum. And also, Lori Winters will be joining us for one of the hours. She is wonderful at her job. She brings the exhibits to the Milwaukee Art Museum and has done some extraordinary work. She will be with us one of the hours. And then, so we're going to talk books and we'll talk art, and then we're going to have coffee and snacks, and we can talk among ourselves about the books that we're reading. And well, it's just going to be great, because those are some of the best things to do in life, I think. And I know many of you feel the same way about books. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you there. It's October 21st at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Our show will be live from there on that day. But we'd like to know if you're coming so we can order you something to eat. Not lunch, but a nice snack. An elegant snack in an elegant surrounding. So send Rhonda an email if you would like to join us. And her address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Okay. Let's go. Let's take some phone calls. And our first call is Dan from Appleton. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
All right, Dan, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
You might have, and I'm not sure if you might have already heard of this gentleman or had him on. His name is Sebastian Younger.
Uh-huh.
And he recently, there's a documentary and a book. I know the documentary is called Restopo, and I believe the book might be the same title. It's about there's a location of Afghanistan where the U.S. military has held for years. And he basically followed these troops for about 2 years, documented what they did, traveled with them, and he wrote The Perfect Storm, the book. He's just an amazing adventure writer, and it's pretty detailed. And he's also, I've heard him speak before, and I've read some of his other stuff. He's also a very, very interesting person.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a suggestion. I know the documentary is coming out. Gosh, I want to say it's either on the National Geographic Channel or the Discovery Channel. I'm not positive on that, but it's a pretty interesting story.
Okay. Great, Dan.
So, well, thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks for the suggestion.
Sure.
Daryl from Couderay. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Daryl.
How are you today?
All right. You?
Oh, just fine. It's a nice, bright, sunny day.
Yeah, same here.
I was wondering if you could have ex-FBI Special Agent Crowley on. Do you remember she was the one who
Oh, yes, right. Yes, now it's ringing a bell, yeah.
Wrote messages about, got in touch with the FBI first about, you know, 9/11 attacks uh-huh. and such. Well, I'd like you to have her on to discuss the way the Patriot Act is being implemented in the cases of the war resistors during the campaign, the Republican presidential campaign in Minneapolis.
Okay, do you know where she is now, Daryl?
In Minneapolis, I would assume.
Is she? Okay.
I think she likes it there.
I can see why.
Me too.
Yeah, it's a nice place. Okay, Daryl.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Patty in Green Bay. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I have two books. You're kind of asking for books. One is called FDR, and it's by Jean Edward Smith.
Is it new?
No, it's I have it in paperback. It's
okay.
new to me.
Okay.
But we got it at Butterfly Books. It's a children's bookstore, but it's more than that. It's much, I mean, it's a really in-depth, you know, biography.
Okay.
And the second one is called, my husband got this, and it's called No Greater Ally. He just started reading it. And it's really, it's called The Untold Story of Poland's Forces in World War II.
Hmm.
And it's a really a fascinating account of what the, you know, we always think of Poland under siege, but how these guys really did fight in the defense of Europe against the Germans. So,
okay.
And that one's by an author named Kenneth K., and I'll spell it, K-O-S-K-O-D-A-N.
Okay.
And it's in hardcover, so it's relatively new.
Good.
So there you have it.
Thank
have
you,
a great
Patty.
Day.
Thanks, Patty. Thanks
yep.
for the call.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. Marguerite is calling from McGregor, Iowa. Hi, Marguerite.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you about a man who has Wisconsin ties. I think he's originally from Glen Haven. He went to high school at Bloomington High School, I think. His name is Bob Schildgen, S-C-H-I-L-D-G-E-N. He writes a column for the Sierra Club magazine, and he's also written a book called Hey, Mr. Green, and it's a question-and-answer book all about environmental questions.
Hmm.
And I don't know, I just think he's a pretty cool guy.
Well, we like cool guys on the air, so.
Yeah.
Okay, Hey, Mr. Green.
Uh-huh.
That sounds great.
And he writes for the Sierra Club Sierra magazine. There's usually a couple of questions in each issue that he answers about recycling and all kinds of environmental things.
Great. That would be a good show, Marguerite.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. Thank you. You're thinking today. You're on. You're right on schedule with thinking. That's good. I'm a little slow on Mondays,
well,
but you're not.
Yeah, nobody ever says that to me.
Well, many are saying it now. Thanks, Marguerite.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Hugh in Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi. I would suggest that you have as a guest J. Christian Adams. He was for many years in the Department of Justice, and he resigned when the Obama administration and Attorney General Eric Holder's anti-white bias and racism became so evident. But the policy of the Department of Justice now is to enforce the Voting Rights Act only when whites interfere or intimidate black voters, and not to interfere with when the blacks or minorities interfere with white people who want to vote. It's utterly racist. He resigned. He was subpoenaed and spoke before the Civil Rights Commission about a month ago. And the Department of Justice did not want anybody to speak. But another member of the Justice Department testified a few days ago. It's utterly anti-white racism that infects the Obama administration, and I hope that white people wake up and realize we have enemies in the Justice Department, the Department of Justice, who will not enforce the law to protect the voting rights of everyone.
I didn't know that the voting rights of white people were being denied by black
well,
people. Where is this happening?
Ask the people in Philadelphia who had to pass through the new Black Panther Party people. One of them is an elected Democrat with a baton insulting white people. And the other one, who was also in the new Black Panther Party, had called for the killing of white babies. These are the kind of racists who are and the ideology of anti-white racism that affects not only these lunatics in the new Black Panther Party, but in the Justice Department and the Obama administration. I suggest you see Kristen Adams as a guest on your program.
All right, we'll certainly look him up, Hugh. I don't think this new Black Panther Party is much of anything, but we'll look him up and see what's going on with this. Thanks very much for your call. Don in West Salem, hi.
Yes, hi. How are you?
All right, Don. You?
Fair to Midland.
Good. That's better than not fair to Midland.
There you go.
Yeah.
On the right side of the grass growing. I guess I'm a little confused and whatever. I hear a lot of talk about electric cars and that type of thing, but you hear very little talk about hydrogen power.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was you've got solar power, wind power. You could have water power, take ocean water and convert it into hydrogen and use it and deposit it where there are gas stations and such. They used to have in the 70s a conversion kit for cars where they would take a converter kit that would go bolt onto the carburetor of cars.
Mm-hmm.
And a special tank that would hold hydrogen. I think it had iron hydride or titanium hydride and you'd put the trunk in the tank, or in the trunk. And you could run your car on either gasoline or hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the only exhaust would be water vapor, no pollution.
We had a guy, I don't know if you heard the interview from E! Magazine, who wrote a piece on electric cars. He was at a conference in Iceland, of all places, on electric cars. And he said what was awaiting him when he returned was a hydrogen car. But you know what the price tag was on it? $1 million.
Well, back in the 70s, there was a place out in the West, Utah or Colorado or something. And it cost $1,000 extra to convert a Ford Granada to run on hydrogen or gasoline.
Hmm, interesting.
And you just flipped a switch, and for local driving or whatever, wherever there were hydrogen tanks, you filled up with hydrogen, and if you couldn't get the hydrogen, you could still run on gas.
Uh-huh.
But this would be a twofold thing. It would help give people jobs converting into hydrogen, plus
right.
Building converter units for cars.
Right. All right. People love this issue, Don, and we'll be happy to do another program and devoted exclusively to hydrogen vehicles. That would be good. Thank you for your call. Anne in River Falls. Hi.
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 Kathleen. See, my suggestion is that you follow up on Alfie Cohn's suggestion last week to have some actual experts from the field of education comment on this narrative of crisis about American K-12 schooling.
Okay.
And you have great folks right there in Madison, people who are nationally known educational researchers who could talk to, for example, research on teacher effectiveness.
All right, we're not in Madison, though, you know that.
Oh, sorry, Milwaukee.
We're here in Milwaukee,
right.
Wonderful Milwaukee. So.
But there's people,
there are people all over.
Across the country.
Right.
And it seems like this current narrative of crisis
right.
is constructed for reasons that are wholly unrelated to the reality of what's going on in our school.
Very interesting. And there is so much emphasis now, this documentary coming out this week, and NBC doing this whole series of programs on schools. I think we ought to just have a panel of teachers on here pretty soon.
Well, or even I think more to the point would be academics who have spent years and years researching these questions, these issues, but their voices are nowhere to be seen.
Right.
These experts are not being asked to speak. Instead, you have people coming on who are speaking from a political perspective, out of political concerns, or people who are just speaking merely from, you know, emotion. Where is the data? Where is the research to back up this need for reform?
All right, Ann, you're on to something, and we'll follow through.
Great, thank you.
All right, thanks Bye-bye. For the call. Mm-hmm. Judy from Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. I was told about a website, scorecard.org, and you can plug in your zip code, and what it does is it tells you the kinds of pollutants, industrial pollutants and carcinogens you're being exposed to and the corporations that expose you to them. Hmm. So I put in 53202, which is near the Oriental and St. Mary's, and I found out that I am being exposed to pollutants in excess of 90% to 100% of zip codes in the United States.
Really?
And the three largest polluters are three We Energy coal-burning plants at Oak Creek and I think two on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had my blood tested for mercury and lead, and it was elevated. I'm an adult. I live in new construction. I don't expose myself in any way. I drink bottled water. And I am lead poisoned, and I have excess mercury. Okay. And I am wondering if all of you, there was a recent article in Milwaukee Magazine about increased cancer on the north
side. Mm-hmm.
And lead and mercury are associated with heart disease and cancer.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can do about those elevated levels, Judy?
There is something weird. I called the health department, and she checked with the chief toxicologist, and although my lead and mercury levels are considered excessive by the FDA,
mm-hmm.
they're normal for Milwaukee.
Really?
So we have defined deviance down.
Hmm. All right, and this is scorecard.org. Okay.
And if you put it in right now and put in your zip code, you will be blown away.
Huh. Okay. I can't do it right now, but I will when the show is over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That would be interesting to look at, wouldn't it? We're doing an open line and getting your suggestions for programs, shows you'd like to hear between 9 and 11. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. In case you can't get through this morning or your thinking cap takes until Tuesday to get working in, or it'll be working later today, you are always welcome to send us suggestions for these hours. Let me give you all our email addresses. Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, Chrissy is Peace, P-E-A-S-E, and mine is Dunk. And then we're all at WPR.org. So if you can send it to all of us, it may strike all of our fancies or one of our fancy, and we'll persuade the others or two, and in which case the majority would rule. So send us your suggestions. We always like to hear from you. Open line for September, 800-486-8655. Ron is next from Blooming Grove. Where is Blooming Grove, Ron?
It's east of Madison, and parts of it are surrounded by Madison.
Oh.
Thanks. First, there may be some confusion between hydrogen and propane. An earlier caller talked about the 1970s. In the 70s and 80s, my brother worked construction, had to drive a big pickup to tow and haul lots of equipment and materials. He looked into the possibility of converting to propane. The propane molecule contains 8 hydrogen atoms and only 3 carbon atoms, so it might be easy for someone to get them confused. Anyway, after a car wash exploded and burned down near home, he gave up on the idea. Somebody had done their own retrofit and put a propane tank in the back of his pickup truck with the necessary valves and connections and stuff, so his pickup would run on propane and be cheaper per mile. But when he drove it through a car wash, the flailing washing materials, whatever, the thing that washes the top of the pickup, tore loose some of the pipe connections on his propane tank, and the propane spewed out and filled up the place, and something sparked it, and they blew up the place.
Goodness.
So whether it's hydrogen or propane or gasoline or diesel fuel, you need to be really careful. Amateurs
right.
like me need to get professional help and not do it ourselves.
Right, right.
The main thing I wanted to ask is that you have a program about political propaganda and how practitioners figure out what's going to work and what doesn't. And the recent really big example, I mean, there are lots of examples this year, but Michael Steele proclaimed that the Afghanistan was Obama's war. And that big lie propaganda tactic just blew up in his face. Dozens, I guess, of his fellow Republicans backed away and say, no, no, Bush invaded in 2001, right after 9/11. This isn't Obama's war, it's our war. But the question is, how do the experts on the inside figure out what kind of big lie propaganda is going to sell to millions of people versus which ones are so outrageous or too small? Maybe his lie was too small. Maybe he needed to say that all the wars were Obama's fault and not just that one. But the Nazis perfected the big lie propaganda back in the 30s and 40s, and it's been used widespread by many other politicians of all sorts of stripes since then. The question is, how can they figure out before something blows up in their face that it's going to do that so they don't make themselves look like idiots?
Okay. Thank you very much for the call, Ron. And let's go to Joy from West Bend. Hi, Joy.
Hi. I'd like to hear a program on how the state funding formula works for schools across the state, and in particular in West Bend, how it has decreased the funding for our schools to the point that where programs have been cut to the bone, and it's our quality of our education here at West Bend that used to be great is going to be declining. Since 1993, there's been a new state law that says, theoretically, that the state is supposed to pay two-thirds of the funding for schools, and it was designed to give some property tax relief. They designate a certain portion of the money that says it's for schools to be property tax relief, so that money doesn't get to schools. So when they said that we would get two-thirds of our funding from the state now, 10 years ago we got 58%, and by now we get 48%. There's been a cap on how much funding can be increased in our property taxes. So, like I said, each year we've had to cut programming, make class sizes bigger, and it's really come to a head in our community. Last year at our annual budget meeting, which we're having our annual budget meeting this evening, last year, since Mark Belling and some conservative bloggers got involved, people came in from out of our town trying to hold the line on our taxes, yet, you know, they didn't really realize how that affects the education of our community children. So I'd like to hear, have you have a guest maybe from our school district, the West Bend School District, maybe even, you know, a couple of the school board members who were elected to try to hold the line on taxes. But it's really, it's a complicated issue,
right,
but it's worthwhile to hear how school funding is being affected.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a good show for us, the state funding formula. Thank you, Joy, very much for your call. And there's so much education, all this attention on education these days, the television specials going on, the president calling for extending the school year today, which is always a, which has been a perennial talk show topic for as long as I've been doing talk shows, and that's a long time. So, but funding for schools and the formula would be a good show. Pat in Richland, hi.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, did you ever find somebody that could, I called, I think, last month to reassure us that the treasure in sending our young kids over to Afghanistan and Iraq is you know, worth it because, so, you know, remember they're telling us how the country's so divided over Afghanistan?
Uh-huh.
And so did you ever find a guest that could get on there and reassure us that Washington is, what they're doing is like, worth it?
Well, I don't know if we have, actually, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, I don't listen to all your programs. That's why I'm asking.
Right, right.
You know, usually you're pretty good at following up on this. Hey, one other guest maybe we shouldn't have too much trouble finding, because supposedly I haven't been able to run into any of these people, but maybe you have. You know, since this Obamacare is starting to kind of take over a little bit, like, for instance, this last deal where recently if your kid is up to 26 years old, they can stay on your policy.
Right.
And have you bumped into anybody that's saying, no, those poor insurance companies, now they, you know, like they're in real, you know, we feel sorry for them because now they got to kind of play by the rules. But, you know, maybe we could get somebody on here to reassure us that the insurance companies really are, we are being hard on them, health insurance companies. And, hey, besides that, Kathleen, it's kind of fun sometimes to try to ask a respectful question to one of your guests that we disagree with.
Well, sure.
But do you think we could get somebody on there that tells us, because I haven't been able to run into any of my fellow citizens out there that feel sorry for the health insurance industry, but by gosh, if you'd listen to the mainstream media, it sounds like people are just up in arms about the, making the health insurance industry actually, you know, follow up on their contract.
All right.
You know, does this make any sense to you?
Pat, this makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, you know, because then we can ask them some profound questions, and because I don't know, you know what I mean? Kind of sometimes it's like, what's going on here?
Okay, Pat, I we got you, and we are all in favor of profound questions,
hey,
always.
Thank you so much.
And we get many of them. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Pat, for the call. Lori in Stillwater, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi. I would love for you guys to bring on Derek Jensen. He's an author and an environmental advocate, and he has written some incredibly insightful books just looking at our culture and the way our human relationships with each other and our relationship with the planet and other natural beings. And a book I'm thinking of in particular is called A Language Older Than Words, but it's just incredible. And it's a few years old, but he's written several other ones since then. And I just, you know, everything that he wrote then is just continues to be relevant today. And his first name is spelled D-E-R-R-I-C-K, and Jensen is J-E-N-S-E-N.
Okay, Lori. Great.
Thanks
for the suggestion. Uh-huh. Bye. Eugene and Viola. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Eugene.
If you're going to do a program on education and you have the opportunity, bring Professor Apple back on from University of Wisconsin. He is a pleasure to listen to. And he is very good.
Okay.
And I think he could do it on about any topic.
There are many of them.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
you very
thanks,
much.
Eugene. Thanks for the call. It's an open line for September. Our number is 800-486-8655. Pat in Madison. Hi. Hi, Pat, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I guess I am. You said in Madison that I'm on the road, and I was just a little confused for a moment. It's Monday. I am calling also about the education issue. This morning I happened to get part of President Obama's interview with the NBC News people, and I was listening to what he had to say about Race for the Top.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that the one component that is not addressed in that whole program, and I don't see that program being particularly successful, is the total disengagement and the non-involvement of the parents who are responsible for monitoring and paying attention to what is happening with their children in the classroom and keeping them in the classroom. I have a daughter-in-law who is a third-grade teacher who has left because she was so totally frustrated with that particular issue and is now getting another degree.
Really?
I have a daughter-in-law who teaches gifted and talented in math in one school system, a son who teaches high school in another system, and a daughter who is head of the guidance department in a separate school system. So education has been, you know, a primary concern of our family. And across the board with all of the systems, the constant refrain is they cannot get the parents to engage.
Mm.
So somewhere, please find someone who can talk about this unspoken issue in education. It doesn't lie just in the classroom. It lies right smack in the lap of the family.
Okay. Thank you, Pat, very much for your call.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Bye. Rita from Fountain City. Hi.
Hi. I'm a new listener, a stay-home mom and a retired teacher. And I have a mom that has heart disease, and she's battled it for years. And the last thing they told her was they couldn't do any more for her. So I did some personal internet research, and I found something called chelation therapy. And when you just had the woman from Milwaukee speaking of lead and mercury poisoning, mm-hmm. chelation therapy is an IV treatment that they use to remove the lead and mercury from your blood system. And through the process of doing that, they realized that heart patients ended up having the calcium deposits removed as well and had freedom of having to have stents or open-heart surgeries. So I recommended it to my mother, and for $100 a treatment, she started doing it, and her doctor is amazed and can't believe that she does not need any more stents. She's able to do her walking and has had unbelievable success with her overall health. I don't think our medical field really supports this therapy because they, you know, perhaps would rather just do the surgeries. But it has been proven, and with my own mother and several people, I think it would be a great topic to bring on some of the doctors that are doing this therapy, as well as some of the patients who have found amazing health benefits.
So where is it? Where is this done? Is it done in hospitals? Or?
It's done in clinic settings, and it's not covered by insurance. But like I said, it's about $100. She does it up in the Twin City area while she's here, but when she winters in Florida, she does it down in Florida. There's a process that can take up to 3 hours, and then there's a 15-minute rapid process where they run an IV line, run the fluids, and I'm not sure what the name of the fluid is, but it is what they've used for years to remove mercury and lead from your blood system.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll look into it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rita. Dennis in Racine, hi.
Hi. Bed bugs have been in the news a lot lately.
They sure have.
I think it's a real important thing to have somebody who knows anything about this discuss, because apparently they become resistant to anything that kills them. And for travelers, this is becoming increasingly a real problem. And maybe you could get an entomologist on and talk about it. What can we do about it?
Do you have bed bugs, Dennis?
No, not yet.
No, but you're worried that you're going to have them.
Well, the thing is, some people say that anybody who travels should probably assume that they're going to come home and with bed bugs in their suitcase. They're in airplanes, taxi cabs, you know, movie theaters. It's a real problem in New York. Apparently, it's not that big of a problem here yet, but they're just there's nothing that kills them anymore. They've become resistant to what they used to use.
Okay.
It was a problem that went away, and then in the 60s, it was virtually eradicated. I think they used DDT to kill them then, and since that time, they've come back in force.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Dennis. Randy in Appleton, hi.
Hi, I'd like to have you bring an expert on that could talk about the current makeup of the media in the United States. And by that, what I'm saying is that I don't believe that there is any such thing anymore as a mainstream media or a liberal media. I think the right-wing talkies have done a pretty effective job of demonizing a lot of media outlets that just don't want to see things their way. What my contention is that all media in the United States currently is corporate commercial media, with the exception, of course, of public radio and public TV. But liberal media, mainstream media, I don't believe it exists anymore. If anything, I think media has gotten even more conservative these days with News Corp. So that's what I would like to know, is an expert's point of view on the current makeup of media and news outlets in the United States.
Okay. All right, Randy. We have a lot of guests who can address that. Thank you.
Thanks for
your call. Jeff in Portage. Hi.
Hi. There was a book written called Hands on Feet Wet about project-based education, written by Victoria Rydberg. She's a teacher from Portage who started the River Crossing Environmental Charter School, and There are a bunch of these schools starting across the state now, and that book is fascinating. The whole story is fascinating. It's a really good book about the success of these types of schools where everything is based on the outdoors. And they're regular public schools, and a lot of kids that come to them are at risk. But I think that would be a fascinating interview, especially based on the fact that I think there are 19 of these schools being opened in Wisconsin now.
Really? Well, that sounds fascinating. What's her name?
Victoria Rydberg. R-Y-D-B-E-R-G.
Victoria Rydberg. How are things? Are you keeping your feet dry up there today?
No.
No? Is it? No.
No. There's plenty of water.
Oh, my. Is your house affected?
No. My house is high on a hill, and I'm glad for it.
Yeah, bad. What a mess, huh?
Well, it looks to me like this is going to be sometime in coming. A local guy who does live on the river went up in his airplane and saw that the water is still running towards the Wisconsin, down the Wisconsin north of here at a pace where it has white caps.
Oh, gee.
So I don't think the worst is over yet.
Oh, gee. It's hard to deal with. All right, Jeff, thank you for your very good suggestion. Okay.
All right.
Say dry on the hill. Kurt is next from Springbrook. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, I'd like to hear you interview Derek Jensen about his most recent article in Orion magazine. And the title of it is World Gone Mad. And I'd also like to hear you interview Doug Brown, and he wrote a book titled Roadmap to Sustainability, Interpreting Daniel Quinn's Work.
Okay.
He's an economist. And
okay. All right, Kurt, thank you.
You're welcome.
Open line for September right now, this hour, 800-486-8655 is the number. More calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to more phone calls. Nancy is calling from Minnesota. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I think it would be great comic relief if you would have a program featuring the Tappet Brothers, the two guys from Car Talk.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe they could even shed a little light on the hydrogen cars.
Oh, yeah, they probably could.
It would just be fun.
Okay. Yeah, we want to have fun every now and then.
That's right.
It's a good thing to do. Thank you, Nancy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Doris in Toronto County. Hi.
Sorry about that. It's a book, Dear Diane, Letters from the First Gulf War.
Dear Diane, okay.
Letters from the First Gulf War, and it's written by a captain in the U.S. Army. At the time, he spent 7 months in the Iraq, Saudi Arabia area, and these are very personal letters that he wrote home to his wife of 3 years.
Hmm.
And it's declaring love, and it's a tribute to all those that have people in the army, you know,
mm-hmm.
in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
He after he came back to the States, he spent 18 months as an instructor at the Army Officer Candidate School, and now he's currently a lecturer in the Andrew Young School of Policy Studies in Georgia State, in University in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Atlanta, and he's a black man married to a white wife.
Mm-hmm.
And his address, www.deardianebook.
Okay.
allsmallcase.com.
Thank you, Doris. Thank you. It sounds like a good book. Kevin is next from Green Bay. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kathleen. Great show. I'd like to touch on a thing. I think I'd like to talk or hear a discussion on why there's a limit on the payroll tax for incomes, I think stopping at around $105,000, $106,000 for Social Security.
Uh-huh.
For the average American that's paying income taxes, period, and I don't have a problem with paying my fair share. I don't know why the privileged that earn above a certain payroll, you know, don't have to pay into Social Security anymore. I think that would alleviate some of the burden, as well as not using the fund or wasting it. And the second thing I'd like to address or ask why, I can see where people earn a significant amount of money and leave an inheritance, and that their benefactors could inherit the money, but why should they have the benefit of the privilege of investing that money and only paying the capital gains on the supplemental income, which is substantially lower than you and I would pay in income taxes? And with that, they're not paying into Social Security as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not looking at it trying to be a socialist system. I'm just saying that it's just what I perceive as being fair. I'm an entrepreneur and I own my own business. And I don't mind that I have the incentive to work hard, but I feel privileged if I can earn my money and I'm not greedy that I won't be willing to pay in to help other people either.
Okay, and Kevin.
Can I mention one other thing for you?
Of course.
I had the privilege of owning Aveda salons, which are 100% natural organic in product usage. The gentleman that owned the company is out of Minneapolis, Horst Reckelbacher. He sold it to Estee Lauder for $158 million. He now has started a new company, which is dedicated only to environmental charities. And it's going to actually be a competitor after his non-compete is up. But every penny will only go to environmental charities. And I think people like this need to be recognized in our country as being what our country is about, and people that are willing to give back and not just be consumed with what they can take. And it all ties in together. It's just, we got to work together.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for your suggestions.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. John in Eagle River. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. A little short list here. One of the issues that I'm interested in is how farming is really one of the most dangerous occupation in the country, and that 75% of all accidents, farming accidents, involve injuries to Latinos. They don't really make up 75% of the workforce. So I'd like some sort of program on that, a program on a therapy called the mirror box therapy for amputees, to get rid of phantom limb pain, a program on why undocumented workers can't receive driver's licenses in Wisconsin and how crazy that is that they don't allow them to, a program on whether or not undocumented workers are receiving proper overtime pay, depending on the job category, program on a book called Freeing Speech, which is about the national security argument that all of our presidents use about not talking about things, and that's quite a good book. A program on the DREAM Act, which is pending in Congress. And then lastly, a program on whether or not Jim Sensenbrenner actually relaxes on his pontoon boat smoking Cohibas and Monte Cristo cigars illegally imported from Cuba.
Okay, John. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Tom in Whitefish Bay. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I have it's a serious suggestion, but I'm afraid in the political context of today's climate that we wouldn't be able to talk about it without politics getting involved. But I'm really interested in hearing a guest talk about this common propensity we have right now in our culture for the most ardent people speaking out against homosexuals and gay rights issues having these latent behavior, you know, having this, I'm trying not to use political terms because I don't want to say the people who gay bash the most turn out to be gay. I think that's how some in the progressive community might view it. But we've had, you know, the mayor of Portland, Senator Larry Craig, Ted Haggard, the evangelical minister. Now we have this minister in Georgia, Reverend Long. And it seems like the more, you know, it's methinks he doth protest too much. It's like the people who are the strongest. Mm-hmm. And I'd really like to get into the psychology of that, like what makes a person behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be a very interesting show.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thanks. And we would get a psychologist for that who knows about the issue. Charles from Mount Zion. Hi.
Hello. I'm on.
You are, Charles.
Okay, I have two suggestions. One is John Eichard, who is an agricultural economist. He retired a while back from the University of Missouri. I would take bets that he's got a website somewhere. His last name is spelled I-K-E-R-D.
Okay.
My second suggestion is I would like to hear somebody who can talk about the connection between the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H,
mm-hmm.
Americans for Prosperity, and the Tea Party.
Okay.
We know the connection is money, but we need a little more detail.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if we've missed the opportunity to speak with Jane Mayer from the New Yorker, but we should get on that because we have meant to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Charles.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Dave in Oconomowoc. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning. You had a gentleman call in a few minutes ago regarding environmental education along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point out that we have a program here in the state of Wisconsin that's called Nature's Classroom. It's affiliated with an environmental education program that's run back in the Massachusetts, Connecticut area. And that's something along the lines of what that gentleman was referring to, if people want to look that up, perhaps for their schools or something. It's they have schools where they contract with, and they bring in school groups for the course for a week, and they stay on site. And it teaches them about environmental education, group building initiatives, that type of thing. And it's a pretty worthy program. I worked for them for a number of years.
Okay, Dave. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Rachel from La Crosse. Hi.
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 There has been quite a bit of uproar, a little bit about the School of the Americas watch that takes place in Fort Benning, Georgia. And I think it would be a great idea to have Father Roy Bourgeois come on and talk a little bit about the vigil that takes place the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before Thanksgiving every single year.
Okay. Yeah, that's been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sure has. Mm-hmm. And there's actually quite a few student groups from the Wisconsin area that take buses down to Georgia and participate in the vigil.
All right. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Open line number is 800-486-8655. Dennis is next. Hi, Dennis.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to share the concern about the use of our guards from all around the nation, but really here specific in Minnesota. I've been keeping an eye on it and looking to try to pin down the cost over time. Dollar-wise, we know the costs in families and all, but and when eyeballed plenty and our current governor candidates and so forth, and we don't have a proper response here. If someone says they're opposed to the war, and we ask, what have you done out of a conscience to oppose or to challenge the war? And the answer is, I won't answer that. We got the figures now. We've been at this for a while. More than 14,000 guard deployed here in Minnesota. National Public Radio reports 1.2 million per year per soldier deployed. That's over $15-16 billion. One national organization says $26 billion is our cost, and they're over here decoying us with a talk of $5 billion possible shortfall. And we need to do some favors for our young people way beyond what we're doing here as adults. I'd like to have that discussed. Larry, our adjunct general over here, said people come up to him when he wears the uniform in the grocery stores and compliment him and so forth, but he said no one's come up and challenged him. We got to challenge him. And he said the person who does that might not like the conversation. I'm willing to talk with him. I'm willing to talk with plenty. I'm willing to talk with our current governor candidates. And I'm willing to talk with anyone, and I'd bring along a guest that probably even more knowledgeable than myself. We've got to get this dealt with. Obama says he wanted one war, not two. Now everybody's unhappy. Well, we got to get at this. Our young people need our favors. We got to get this addressed.
All right. Thank you, Dennis, for the call. Steve in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. With the movement around the country in the direction of decriminalizing marijuana, I think it might be a great show to have two individuals, pro and against, for the same movement here in Wisconsin, decriminalizing marijuana use, either medically alone or for both recreational and medical usage.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Great, thanks.
Gene in Oshkosh, hi.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Gene.
This is quick. I just finished a book. A friend of mine recommended it. The author's name is, his first name is A-T-U-L, and his last name is G-A-W-A-N-D-E. He is a surgeon, a physician, and he writes extremely well. In fact, I understand he has columns in some international journals. The book that I just read was called Better, B-E-T-T-E-R. And what he does so well is analyze the interests and the capabilities of the medical profession, of the insurance companies, of the patients, of the hospitals. In other words, he provides a kaleidoscope of interests and outcomes that would be very, very beneficial, I think, to those of us who are who use the medical profession.
We're out of time. Thanks, Gene, very much for the call. Thanks for all of your suggestions. To Mimi Notstein, thanks for answering many phone calls. Our email address, in case you didn't get through, FANNINGPEASE and Dunkay. We're all at WPR.org. Thanks, everybody, for all of your contributions.